can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Walking for Jesus Bible study for tonight. Welcome. Family, tonight I recommend that you get out pencil and paper. I'm going to give you steps about how to lead someone to Jesus. And I'm also going to give you some of the steps and objections you're going to get from folks. And we'll cover that this evening for the next hour and a half or so. The broadcast today, you might want to listen to it. I covered a lot of areas, how they're going to attack your children, and how they're going to take your children, and I would think that people would be interested in that, but, you know, you just never know. Maybe they're not interested in knowing how it's operating and working. They think somebody in the government is going to stop it, but you got to understand that the Illuminati literally controls all governments, bar none. You've got, the karate guy, Steven Seagal, talking with Putin. You've got the American government giving equipment this week, to past month or so, and this week, to Russia. At the same time, the president's talking about a nuclear strike. You know, it's almost ludicrous. It's almost funny if it wouldn't be sad. You see. I mean, it's almost insane. You got the president talking about we're closer than we ever have been to a nuclear exchange. At the same time, the government passes on equipment to Russia. Well, they actually did it in Vietnam War, so I guess that wouldn't be too different. Matter of fact, the government, under control of the Vatican now, understand that. In 1966, as a result of a State Department's intervention, made sure that our military-industrial complex could operate with the Russians. So, as a result of this cooperation, they provided them the specifications for a glycerol factory to the Russians, so the Russians could give glycerin to the Vietnamese to build their booby traps, which accounted for 50% of our casualties. Clintongate. Clinton was giving secret information to the Chinese. Finally, they all worked together in a Luciferian agenda. The only one that's going to solve this is Jesus Christ. You see, that's it. Supernaturally, it's the only way it's going to happen. There is no other way. No fallen angels, no aliens, no ascended masters, no Ron Paul, no Rand Paul, no Clinton, no, I don't know, whoever you want to pull out, Pat Buchanan, whoever, whatever name. Doesn't make any difference who is on the political ticket. Wesley Clark or Hillary or name one that's not even been named, doesn't matter. They're not going to do it. Not one human being. Not Putin. Not Prince William, Prince Henry, Prince Skiddly-Doo-Dah, whichever. It doesn't make one bit of difference. Not one. There's not one human that is able to do it, nor will, nor can. Not one. Did I say not one? Yeah, I did. Family, it's important to know this. There's no general. There's no senator. But one will come around that says he can. You see. You see, that was it. So, family, there's not one senator or otherwise. The ones that have been murdered in every case or taken out or set up or something. We have a Luciferian government, and we always have had. The founding fathers were deists based on Luciferian, based on secret societies. Family, you got to understand how detailed this is, how integrated this is with the Luciferian agenda. It is the rule, not the exception. You see? That's it. So, I want to dedicate the broadcast. And then we're going to get into it and get your pen and paper out. And this is really the most important thing that I can pass on ever. This is the bottom line of all my broadcasting. This is the bottom line of all the Bible studies. It's the Super Bowl, if you will, of everything on TV and radio. The Super Bowl is leading someone to Jesus. You see? That's what it's all about. And Satan is going to do everything in his power to stop you. At all cost. At all cost. And he'll attack your families around you. He'll attack your work around you if he can't get to you. He'll get to you in other ways. And you have to stay focused. Leading someone to Jesus and your spiritual walk is more important than family, is more important than your country, is more important than anything you can imagine, because it represents the eternal life of those that you talk to and yourself. Eternal. Family, eternal is a long time. Eternity is a long time. People don't seem to understand that. Some people would trade their life for a sandwich. It's important to know this. Eternity is a long time. You don't die. You never die. You end up in one of two places, heaven or hell. And the churches are failing. 98%, 95% our churches are, and synagogues and cathedrals are failing in their job, but not talking about hell, not talking about salvation, not talking about repentance, not talking about how to lead someone to Jesus. And they use the NIV Bible. They use the New King James Bible. They use the ESB, the NASB, all these other Bibles, except for the King James. And even the ones using the King James these days are twisting it around. And then they inflict their little shots in there. Well, the King James, we use it, but you really got to know the original language. Well, no, you don't, preacher. You're wrong, dead wrong. Because the King James Bible was translated perfectly by real scholars, not the fakes they have today, but the real scholars, the 47 translators of the King James, were real scholars that feared in the good way, feared God, means loved him and respected him, and made sure, and God guided them to bring you his holy word, the King James Bible. Family, it's important. A lot of people died to get that viral. Erasmus, Tyndall, Wycliffe, the Waldenese, and the thousands. It just goes and goes. This is the bottom line. Lord, tonight we come before you in prayer. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity we have to come together, to have Bible study tonight. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity you give us sometimes that, Lord, we have a divine appointment we can witness for Jesus. Lord, keep us patient. Work on us, Lord, that we can learn patience, to give us that ability, Father, sometimes we lose it. Father, to give us that patience when we lose it, to correct us, convict us, and bring us along. We pray for our family members, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you'll heal them, heal their minds, their bodies, Lord, to bring them back to us, that, Father, we can witness to them and they can participate in these studies. Or studies at home or wherever they are. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit comes down and touches each and every one for anointing to spread that gospel. And Lord, we do pray that you'll send those warring angels down here to protect us and spread the blood of Jesus around us to protect us from those interferences of Satan. And to put them in their place and send them away. The demons and the fallen angels to be delayed, fallen angels to be revealed for who and what they really are. Father, what we need now is a spirit of reverence, of respect, of fear and trembling at the word of God. Lord, because this is in dire need of a recharge. Father, we pray for our veterans. We pray for those children that are being abducted, for these sacrifices coming up. And Father, we call for a spirit to wake up the Freemasons, to wake up those and the blood oaths, that they'll renounce those blood oaths. For an awakening out of this country of those that follow Jesus to stand up and proclaim. That's why, Father, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, family, when you're leading someone to Jesus, sometimes you walk up to him and you'll have an opportunity there. You see. And when you finally realize where this new world order is, it is Satan's plans. And you witness to people about this new world order, if you know about it, it opens up opportunities to witness to others. Because they want to know where it's coming from. You see. Now, a lot of these politicians are going to fool you, almost all of them. The others have been subjugated, or they've gotten quiet because they were warned. Sometimes their lives are. Preachers fall in line with the 501c3 churches. Family, it's going to get worse. Simply because it's supposed to. When it gets better, you better start worrying. Because that means there's going to be a fake prosperity period, a fake World War III, which is coming up now, which means we're close. I'm not going to get into that right now. I mean, maybe this week, it's Wednesday. I want to talk about end times, and I'm studying the seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls. And I think last night we were talking about the first seal, I believe it was. We were talking the other night about the first seal. And you have the four horse apocalypse. You got the white horse, and the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse as the four seals in the first 3.5 years. Depends what church you go to, what religion you're attached to. That depends on what they believe to be the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven bowls. There's all kinds of different ways. You got the day of Christ, which is Satan's wrath, first 3.5 years. The second 3.5 years is the day of the Lord. We were talking about it one time. And then the seven bowls are the wrath of God. It encompasses 7 years tribulation. And it hadn't started yet. Everybody's trying to hurry things up. And part of it's by design. To bring in that fallen angel, alien, ascended master kind of hoax that's coming. And that's going to be the great deception. Not going to be good. And those that are Christian are going to fall away like you've never seen before. That's why they call it the falling away. When they see, and I've already read about it over and over and over many times, this fake Jesus called Sananda Emmanuel. He calls himself Yeshua. And they so intermix the Bible and love and tranquility and peace and all that. It lulls people into a false sense of security. And the one named Sananda, Manuel, the fallen angel, the fake Jesus, is the one that you've seen photographs, paintings of all our lives. That's not Jesus Christ of Nazareth at all. He's going to have many names. DNA will be figured into this. It's going to get real tricky. Because religion will be turned up on its ear when this alien identification will happen. And yeah, and there will be a lot of angry parishioners at preachers and Jews at synagogues and Roman Catholics at cathedrals. Are going to be really mad at some of the clergymen that they didn't know better. But because they're going to say, oh, we came from aliens. We are the product of these ascended masters or whatever. Oh, that's coming. But family, don't be fooled by them. Even Swedenborg said that all these fallen angels do is lie. And he's right. To equip you with the spiritual tools that you need to lead a sinner into genuine repentance. Well, you can't become saved by observing the law of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. We've cited this many times, Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Just observing the law is works. But a sinner can only be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed upon the cross at Calvary. Hebrews 9:22. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And the law of God was put in charge to clearly lead the sinner to the grace of God and Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. So the foundation tonight is based on Acts 2:38. They say in some areas you don't need repentance. I think Calvinists believe this. You've got Calvinists. Why do they want to call themselves Calvinists? Well, you worship John Calvin. Besides, his theology is completely off and whacked out. I don't know how else to describe it. It's not of God. There's no question about that. He has his own theology. John Calvin and Martin Luther both were Jesuits. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, you know that Peter had some problems. Paul had to go see Peter. I've talked about this before. It's another lesson. But Paul had to go see Peter to straighten him out. Paul was kind of kowtowing to the Sadducees and Pharisees, the church leaders then. He had to have a little adjustment. Be baptized, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So Peter was kind of falling away a little bit there. for a while. But yes, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, when you repent, it's extremely regretting the original decision. You kind of make a 180 turn. And away from, in context, it involves a turning away from sin and turning to God. And when you can't do it, you depend on Him to do it for you, to help you along. But you got to give Him a hand. And you know the statistics that prove that most sinners are not genuinely repenting of their sins. And the preachers have a way of causing this to happen. Some time ago, in a period of 1 year, an evangelistic ministry reported about 18,000 decisions of Jesus Christ for him. And of that 18,000, 94% backslid, which equals 6% retention rate. Don't they always have statistics? That's falling away. It's backsliding. In a period of 1 month, about 200 churches combined for a series of individual evangelistic meetings. Almost 4,000 decisions for Jesus Christ was made among the churches. Now, soon after these evangelicalist meetings, 90% backslid. It's a 10% retention rate. And during an evangelistic, I got it right that time, outreach, according to statistics, an evangelist reported about 400 decisions for Jesus Christ. All of them backslid, which equals a zero retention rate. And when a modern evangelical altar calls, you're experiencing approximately about 90% backsliders. That means fall back in the way you were, which gives you about modern methods at best a 10% retention. Turn decisions into disciples. You have to lead sinners into genuine repentance. So, what to do? I'll tell you what to do. Don't take my word for it. Do your own research. Look up other ways and see if it matches. Come up with your own style. But before a sinner is led to genuine repentance, they must do the following. One, see that they're a sinner. And a sinner who sinned against and broken the heart of the Holy God. That you are a sinner. They must see this. Number two, they must be drowning in their sins and realizing the eternal state, if he dies, is his sin. To realize the eternal state, and if he dies in his sins, where is he going to end up? Three, before a sinner is led into genuine repentance, they must be stripped of all their self-righteousness so they can see his hopelessness, helplessness, having absolutely no means of payment for the penalty of the sin. What is payment for sin? Death. And in death, it's kind of a catch-22, isn't it? There's no going back. And four, to cry out, "Holy God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now, if I got a lot of pride and ego and all this, I'm saying, what are you talking about? Man, don't tell me that. I put money in the pot every day. I go to the old folks' home and visit. I help two little old ladies across the street today. Don't that count for something? No, it don't. God wants true repentance, heartfelt repentance. Good deeds don't get it. So what is the forgotten key ingredient? The key ingredient to leading sinners to genuine repentance? Well, you got the law of God. It is in Psalms 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Psalms 19, 7. And sub to that is through this law, we become conscious of sin. Once you become conscious of it, you will make it aware. See, what this means is a criminal never does anything wrong. It's always justified. Until he sees it's really wrong, will he actually be rehabilitated or whatever. To become conscious of sin. Romans 7, 7 to 13. I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For apart from law, sin is dead. It's through the law that you're taught what sin is. Number three. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Galatians 3, verse 24. Now, what is the law of God accomplished in a sinner's life? What is in our lives? Well, there are several things. It shows the sinner precisely his sin. It's kind of like a spiritual measuring rod of sort. And reveals the depth of his sin against God. Number two, it acts as God's spotlight and mirror, exposing the sin. Number three, it leads the sinner into genuine repentance, clinging to the cross. And fourth, most importantly, what does the law of God accomplish in the sinner's life? It converts the sinner's soul. That's very important. So what is the law of God? Ten Commandments. This is which men of God use, the law of God, to lead sinners from genuine repentance. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or graven image. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. That's virtually any day, by the way. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. And lastly, you shall not covet. Go to Luke 10, verse 25 to 37, area there. Jesus Christ said, on one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. He said, Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do I read it? Well, as is recorded with many books of the Bible, Paul. And John Wesley, before I can preach love, mercy, and grace, I must first preach sin, law, and judgment. John's guidance for preaching was 90% law, 10% grace. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. John Wesley. Charles Spurgeon. They must be slain by the law before they can be made alive by the gospel. Until then, they will never say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. a theologian, Dwight Moody, said the law which can only chase a man to Calvary. Charles Finney, preached on the law of God and had 80% retention rate on those who made decisions to follow Jesus Christ. So now you ask yourself, why me? Why us? Why do we lead sinners to genuine repentance? What do you get paid for it? You get a free vacation? No. Every sinner who does not repent of his sins will never be forgiven of his sins. It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sin. Acts 2, verse 38. And you know, Luke said in 13:5, every sinner who does not repent of his sins will perish. But until you repent, you too will all perish. Repentance is highly needed, I'd say. So the sin of modern evangelism, the sin is forsaking the proclamation of the law of God. Or B, forgetting the power that's in the law of God and its ability to lead some sinner to the cross. Evangelists forget about the power that's in the law of God. They forget about the proclamation of the law of God. Number three, the message of repentance through the law of God is decayed into a non-committal message of the life enhancement. Sounds a little bit New Agey, doesn't it? So you're catching about 100 fish, but 90 are getting away because there's a huge hole in it. So we're not truly fulfilling the Great Commission. We're just simply making decisions and disciples. Now, the gospel presentation, the plan of salvation, is, some of it's pretty basic. Some of the steps you can skip over, or whatever, just depends. So the first thing is to introduce yourself. Learn the first name of the prospect, unless you already do it. The next step is to ask questions about personal life of prospect. It gives you some kind of insight. This could all be done in seconds. You're sort of in conversation. Or you may already know their personal life. Ask questions about spiritual life for the prospect. What about your spirit life? I don't believe in that stuff. Okay, well, you know where you got to go. If that happens to you. Share your personal testimony. When you get those questions answered, you have a little bit of information to deal with the prospect. And you can say, may I ask you two of the most important questions that anyone could ever ask you. Now, question one is, quote, are you 100% certain that if you died today, you would go to heaven? And question two, if you were to die today and be taken into the presence of Almighty God, and he were to ask you, what reason should I let you into heaven? What answer would you give it to him? What answer could you give? Well, I'm going to give you some answers. And done with that, we'll see how far we are. And I have some prayer of commitments. Others that can run and hide and so forth when they see you coming. You know, but know that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He laid on Jesus Christ the sins of all humanity. If you go to John 3:16, God so loved the world that He laid on Jesus Christ the sins of all humanity. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What that says. So 3 days after Jesus Christ, not Yeshua, not Yahweh, not Yeshua, none of that. 3 days after Jesus Christ died on the cross, He arose from the dead and paid the full penalty for all our sins. He could do that. He's the only one that could do that. That's why He did it. He purchased a place for us in heaven, which He now offers as all humanity as a free gift. So the only one that can save you is who? That's Jesus. There's only one. He paid the full penalty for all our sins. He purchased a place for us in heaven, which He offers all humanity as a free gift. Jesus Christ is the only person who can save you. He alone is your only way to heaven. Yet we as human beings start putting our trust in politicians, in former generals or something or other that actually claim they're Christian. So this free gift of salvation and heaven through Jesus Christ received only by faith. Faith is putting all of your trust in Jesus and only Jesus Christ for your salvation. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves is a gift of God, not by works so that no man can boast. Okay. The commandments are, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. It's done all the time. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Now you'll find these in Exodus 20:3-17. Let's go there. All right. Exodus 20:3-17. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fallen fathers, of the fathers upon the children, in the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Let's go back to 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's heaven above or that's in the earth beneath or that the water under the earth. 5. thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. You remember when Obama bowed down to the king of Saudi Arabia? Because he is head of Bush, of Clinton, of Obama, all of them. They're presidents of a corporation, not the presidents of a country. That's how it works. They just haven't told you yet. The whole list of these founding fathers, man. Salvation is found in no other else, for there's no other name under the heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12 and Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved, you and your household. Now, individually, what do? Learning how to take someone to a place, to persuade to do something, to cause to believe in something. You got to have it down pat. You don't want to lose somebody. You might want to take an index card, write down the steps, and go over it over and over and over and over. Highly recommended. Because you're going to have all kinds of strange situations happen. You might even end up in those FEMA camps and there having to witness. You see, anything's possible. Okay. The first thing you're going to do is cast the net of salvation. And that would be the point to where you'd say, introduce yourself, ask questions about the personal life of the prospect, ask questions about the spiritual life, save your personal testimony. So, yeah, we were, okay, bowing down. That's what Obama did to the king of Saudi Arabia. Remember that? It's part of this game they're playing, by the way. We're talking about Exodus 20, verse 6, showing mercy upon thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the Lord, the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now this was the old law too. Keep in mind that Jesus, when he was born and raised, died and went up to heaven, he fulfilled the Sabbath. So it's any day. In the Old Testament was the old law. It applied to Jews mostly. That's true, by the way. Exodus 20, verse 9. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. Same thing with the Sabbath. About the work. Exodus 20, verse 10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath, the Lord thy God. Remember, that's in the Old Testament. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor my cattle, nor my stranger that's within the gates. Exodus 20, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that's in it, rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Old Testament. Honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Exodus 20, verse 13. Thou shalt not kill. 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. 15. Thou shalt not steal. And Exodus 20, verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. This is 17. Or neighbor's wife, or manservant, nor maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Exodus 20, verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings, and the lightnings, and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they were moved and stood afar off. So, that's the commandments. And you remember that Jesus Christ fulfilled the commandments. He didn't abolish them. He actually fulfilled them. So, in the introduction, it's how to lead someone to Jesus Christ. You cast the net of salvation. You cast the net of salvation. By introducing yourself, learn the first name, ask questions about the personal life of the prospect, ask questions about the spiritual life, and share your personal testimony. And then he asked the two questions. Are you 100% sure if you died today, you would end up in heaven? Because now you got them worrying, thinking about it. If you were to die today and would be taken in the presence of Almighty God, he would ask you, what reason should I let you into heaven? What reason would you give to him? Well, I may have good news for you. In the gospel, heaven is a tree of life that cannot be brought or merited. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. And the transitional statement is that this can be better understood when we hear what the Bible says about humanity. So all humanity are sinners. And they cannot save themselves. Everybody wants to find a way that I can save myself or get down there. I don't like it. I can come out of there. But it don't work that way. And you know, because all humanity sinned by being disobedient to the Ten Commandments, God sent his only son down, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the sins of humanity. Now that's love, man. You going to give your life of your daughter or son to somebody else? That's how real it is. John 3:16. God so loved the world. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But he loved the world so much, he laid on his only begotten Son the sins of all humanity. That's heavy. So 3 days after Jesus Christ died on the cross, He rose from the dead, paid in full the penalty for all our sins. He purchased a price for us in heaven, which he now offers us all humanity as a free gift. And you know that Jesus Christ is the only person who can save you? I've said it dozens and dozens of times. He alone is your only way to heaven. Nobody else can do it. So, The free gift of salvation and heaven subsequently is through Jesus Christ. So, we're down to it. The different steps to lead a sinner to Christ. As I said before, you cast the net of salvation. Kind of like catching fish. Sound familiar? The introduction is the first step of casting the net of salvation. You introduce yourself and learn the first name of the prospect. There we go. Ask questions about personal life. Ask questions about spiritual life and about to share your personal testimony. And then you throw out the right bait. It's called the gospel. Heaven is a free gift that cannot be bought or merited. It can be better understood when you hear what the Bible says about humanity. And that's when I go back to what I said, that humanity is sinners and can't save themselves. You know, because all humanity is sinned by being disobedient to the Ten Commandments, God sends only Son down, take care of things. That was to die on the cross for the sins of all humanity. Except he can come back to life again. You can't. God so loved the world, he laid on Jesus Christ the sins of all humanity. John 3:16. There you go. You know, about the 3 days he died, he rose again from the dead, paid, according to them, and paid the full penalty for all our sins. And Jesus Christ is the only person who can save you. He alone is your way to heaven. So some people say, and because it's on the page, same page that you're going to use to witness to others, to keep it on the same page. The free gift of salvation and heaven through Jesus Christ received only by faith. And you know what faith is putting all your trust in Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ. And no political involvement here or country or family or anything else. So you throw out the gospel. I don't mean throw it out, but you start speaking about the gospel. And so, when you've done that, you draw the net of salvation, which is the commitment. Now, the commitment question that you're going to use . Do you acknowledge that, one, eternal life, heaven is a free gift that you cannot buy or merit? Number two, you are a sinner and you cannot save yourself. Number three, God so loves you that he laid on Jesus Christ your sins. Number four, Jesus Christ is the only person who can save you, and he alone is your only way to heaven. There's a lot of disagreement with that. But they better get on the stick, because what the Bible says. And we can't make up our own Bibles. Thomas Jefferson tried to. Ellen G. White tried to. Westcott and Hort, the Vatican, they tried to. But God knows better. Too bad they don't. Doesn't mean you follow it either. So eternal life in heaven is a free gift. Two, you're a sinner who cannot save yourself. Three, God so loved you that he laid on Jesus Christ your sins. Four, Jesus Christ is the only person who can save you. He alone is your only way to heaven. Five, you need to put all your faith and trust in Jesus and only Jesus for your salvation. Number six, you need to confess your sins and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of all your sins and be your personal Savior. And last but not least, you need to repent of your sins. Ask Jesus Christ to be more Lord and Master in every area of your life. And it's easy to rattle off, but sometimes it's not so easy to do. So, to give you an idea what more you would say, if they're ready to repent right then and right there, you have what's called the prayer of commitment. It goes something like this. Dear God, I come to you in Jesus Christ's name, realizing that eternal life, heaven is a free gift that I cannot buy or merit. I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. Which is true. Except in the movies. Movies have a lot of script going on there. Helps a lot. God, I thank you that you so love me that you laid on Jesus Christ my sins. Jesus Christ is the only person who can save me. He alone is my only way to heaven. I now put all my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and only Jesus Christ for my salvation. And Jesus Christ, I confess to you my sins. Ask you forgive me of my sins and be my personal Savior. You confess the sins, you ask for forgiveness, and repent. And then pray to Jesus. Now, to build the assurance of their salvation, look up John 3:16. I was there. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I don't see the problem. It's easy to read, easy to say, easy to understand too. So in the assurance of salvation, you ask him to first determine who they are. Then you say, are you 100% certain that you are, if you died today, you'd go to heaven? And through the introduction, if you were to die today and be taken to the presence of Almighty God, and he were to ask you, what reason should I let you in heaven? What reason would you give it to him? Okay. When you get these steps down, you need to practice them. Because I'm going to tell you, I know for sure, that when you have some grown man, the Holy Spirit's hitting him, he depends on you to lead him. Man, you got to be cool. Not real cool, but cool. And pull off the top of your mind what's coming down and how you're going to lead him there. Leading souls to Christ is the most important part of your walk. Because some of them is going to have objections. And if you don't know what you're doing, objections are going to make you stop breathing. You're going to say, I don't know. What do I do next? TBS, we had, what's new? What's next, Lieutenant? Some will have objections. They'll say, I'm not a great sinner. I'm just not a great sinner. I'd say, you're what? No. The answer is, God says that we all are sinners. Not me. Not anybody in here. But the Bible itself, which comes from God. For all I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Another objection. I'm a Baptist. I can't do that. I'm a Methodist. I can't do that. Or I'm a Catholic. Well, church membership does not save anybody. You must be born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How do you misinterpret that? I don't say I do that. It's pretty clear. Church membership I spoke about has nothing to do with it. And the hypocrites in church, oh, massive. Nowadays, it seems like. Yes, there are, but there will be no hypocrites in heaven. You will not be judged by what someone else did, but by your own life. What it boils down to being. Number three, there are hypocrites in church, as if I didn't have to tell you. But there are no hypocrites in heaven. You will not be judged by what someone else did, not by your own title or your own life, the Bible says. So then every one of us shall give the account to himself and God. Let me say that again. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Ephesians 14, verse 12. Some people say, well, gosh, you know, I'd have too much to give up. I'd have to give up too much. Well, if you're not willing to give your sins, you'll be lost forever. Is a basis of this. Jesus said, quote, Mark 9:36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world but lose his soul? Some harsh words there. Another response would be, I am waiting until I become better. It's like, what are you talking about? I am waiting until I become better, a better person. I don't feel comfortable with myself, so I'm going to wait till I'm a better person. Wait. You can start right now. People got to wait for it. Really think about it. Answer is, you can't make yourself better. The Lord Jesus tells us to come to him just as we are. And the promise is to receive us. He said, him that cometh to me, I will in no way cast away or pass out. They'll say, I'm a Christian, I can't live the Christian life. It's almost leading up to a falling away, is it not? Nobody can, unless Christ comes to live in us, in him or her. They stabilize us to live in the Christian life, the Apostle Paul said. He cites Romans 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Unquote. Okay. Some people may say, I'm too great a sinner. And the answer is, Jesus came to save sinners. He'll save anybody who comes to him. The Apostle Paul said, quote, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. Another one. I am doing the best I can. Unquote. We're not saved by our good works, but through faith in Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not the works, lest any man should come or should boast. And you know the way, one way is as good as another, as long as you just are sincere about it. You ever heard that one? Oh, yeah. The answer is, you may be sincere, but you may be sincerely wrong. The Bible says, quote, there is a way that seems right in the man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14, verse 12. Jesus is the Savior, the only Savior. We cannot come to God except by him. And Jesus said, cannot come by him except him. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. Maybe later. Well, it's very dangerous to put off so important a matter, the Bible says. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what day may bring forth. And the second one is, next one is, I don't want to give up my sin. Answer is, and then you'll be lost forever. You see, Jesus said, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. And one of the last ones, is I don't believe in hell. I don't believe there's one of those things. Answer is, this does not change the fact of hell. The Bible says, in Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, Revelation 21:8. God's not fooling around. Don't you just love do's and don'ts? I got a few here. Do always use your Bible when leading someone to Christ. Even though you may be able to quote the verses verbatim, it's better to let the person know and let the person also read it themselves. Don't use too many verses. They get overwhelmed. Do look to God in prayer for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Don't interrupt people. Try to find their problem, but don't get sidetracked into bringing them back to the house, back to the matter of the relationship with the Lord Jesus. Do be earnest. There's no time for joking, and so winning is a serious business. Some people like to bring a comedian up. It doesn't work. Don't argue. God does not send us out to win arguments. He sends us forth or out to win souls. Another one. Be careful of your breath. And don't offend someone needlessly. Do admit it. When you don't know the answer to a question, just say, I don't know the answer to that question. But I'm sure there must be one. One thing I do know, Jesus Christ saved my life, changed my life. He'll do the same for you. Value every person highly. Chances are I've been put down all along. One way or another. Some people get angry with God. Blame God even though they don't believe in Him. Still blame Him. How's that work? Don't be discouraged. Some will reject the Savior, but keep right on witnessing for Christ. Don't let something stop you. Jesus wept and prayed over lost souls, so should we. Do encourage new converts. To confess Christ to others, and this to join the Bible-believing church is the first opportunity. But you know, you must overcome any fears that you've got. And one of the greatest hindrances to any workplace out in town, the civilian workforce, is what people think. He had a Christian who was a fearless personal worker, was asked if they had always been bold. He replied that he'd once been as timid as ever anyone. So one day, he could not stand it any longer. He fell on his knees with the Bible, opened up to Psalms 34:4. I sought the Lord and He heard me, and I delivered me from all my fears. So, he said that, Lord, you did this for David. Do it now for me. So God heard his prayer and answered it. So, you can ask God to do the same thing for you. You have the message that brings eternal life to people. You must know. You must give it out boldly. When you're fearful of people, you make them bigger than the gospel message. That's a sin. And you can win souls. There are people all around you who need to be saved. So begin by pray for them. You watch for an opportunity to witness for them. That's divine appointments. You learn four basic truths of the gospel. And that's the fact of sin, the penalty of sin. Christ paid the penalty. And we must receive Christ to be saved and born again. And learn how to answer objections. I will repeat the question and give the answer. Different ways of doing it. Just be ready. Number five, be ready and God will use you in some capacity. Now, don't be afraid of making a mistake. Your biggest mistake would be if you don't try to win someone to Jesus Christ. Isn't that something kind of along the same lines as saying, well, I used to say this in courses when I taught law enforcement and other security. I say, man, I said, listen here, y'all. I say, I hate dumb questions. Don't ask me no dumb questions. I said, oh, well, there's only one dumb question. Now to think about it, always made some kind of dramatic entrance, get their attention. I said, really, the only one dumb question is that question you just don't ask. That's a dumb question. We all don't know it all. And you just, you know, get used to asking questions. Because they're going to ask you questions. And just overcome your fears. To anticipate their questions when you're over. It's when you don't get any questions that you should worry. Well, we're moving around along here on this evening about leading someone to Jesus isn't easy. The first few are the most difficult. Because you've got to show them that they're a sinner, Romans 3:23. Then you show them that the penalty of sin is death, Romans 6:23. You show them that Christ died to pay the penalty of sins, John 3:16. And you know, the idea here is to know that you're saved. Are you saved? Oh, I sure hope so. Oh, that's a wrong answer. Yeah, my regular listeners, you know, have used this term before. It's like packing your parachute, jumping out of an airplane. Hey, troop. Yes. Have you packed your parachute? I think so. That's a wrong answer. If you ask the parachute packer, it depends how you got it set up here. Hey, man, did you pack my parachute? Yeah, I think I did. That's the wrong answer, man. You don't want that kind of answer. It's like, whoa, hold the plane, man. I ain't going down there. What do you mean you think you packed my parachute? So, get used to it. Get in front of a mirror. Talk to other Christians. Play it out. Act it out. Get up some of the objections where they say, I am not a great sinner. or I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Muslim, I'm whatever, what are you going to say? Well, there's hypocrites in church. Or I would have to give up too much. Or I'm waiting until I become better. You know when you say, wait till you get better? It's like that old thing I've always said, you know, about sitting at the green light. And you say, man, get moving. You're waving. Yeah, get moving. It ain't going to get any greener. Well, how are you going to get any better? At what point? Analysis paralysis. Someone will say, I'm afraid I can't live the Christian life. We covered that. I am too great a sinner. I'm doing the best I can. That's always a favorite answer some people give you. I think one way is as good as another, so as long as you're sincere. That's common, that objection. You may be sincere, but you may be sincerely wrong. The Bible says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is ways of death. You see, Jesus says, Proverbs 14, verse 12. And he got maybe later. Some people will actually tell you, I don't want to give up my sins. You can win souls. Begin to pray for them. Watch for an opportunity to witness to them. Learn the four truths of the gospel. Learn how to answer objections. Be ready, and God will use you as his representative. Family, we're at the end of the program tonight. I appreciate you all coming by. This week's kind of moving by pretty quick, I think. I know they got some things planned up. This UFO thing is sticking out. The dollar crash, revalue of the currency coming up. I don't know. The Hoover Dam may crash. They got all this stuff going on everywhere. You know, FEMA camps, crashing dams. Darn, they got a crashing dam. You know, so whatever happens, happens. I wrote some people today. I said, man, if you're on the East Coast or West Coast or down in Florida, you might as well go ahead and purchase your rubber ducky if things get ugly. If you can't afford the rubber ducky, just get you an old inner tube. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. It's been tried decades and decades. One of them's going to go, though. The difference this time, though, is this. As they started changing the laws to reflect homosexual marriage, abortion, you're working on euthanasia. At what point is God going to say go? As soon as God says go or allow Satan his way, well, he's going to move fast. He's not going to say, well, I think it'll work this over 10 years. It don't work that way. When Satan's given the go-ahead, when God removes the protective hedge, man, it's going to go down fast. And the falling away is not an anointing. A falling away means they're turning away from God. Well, that's the alien technology thing going on. This one named Sananda even says, I'm going to come down, as I say, from the clouds in a spaceship. He even tells us this. Can you imagine? Some little ten buck town somewhere, and they see all this holograms going on. He try to convince them not. And voice to skull technology, which I've described before. Oh, see, people aren't thinking about all this. And the mid-tribulation, after that great earthquake, something that people are not thinking about is you will not have technology, will not be available, probably even after the Red Horse and war. Technology is not going to be there. And when Jesus Christ comes back, they don't have heavenly computers and spaceships like Jetsons. No, we're going back to primitive life of loving each other, God providing, and us worship for 1,000 years. And that's coming. No stopping that. and the battle of Gog and Magog is at the end of the thousand-year millennium reign. Then comes a complete new heaven and earth, and boy, you're in eternity. Y'all have a good night tonight. And know that Jesus Christ won already on the cross of Calvary. Don't let them whip fear into you. Now this YouTube and Facebook and all this stuff, man, they're going to be hitting it hard and fast. They're going to be pretending to be on your side. They're going to talk about Jesus. They're going to talk about God, about Christ, all this stuff. Don't let them hook you in. Be very wary. You got covens that are hitting all these Facebooks and YouTube. And they're good, too, though. They are really good at what they do. They're good at fooling people. Okay? So be very careful. And don't let go of what you know to be true, no matter what. Well, now, y'all have a good night tonight. And I will remind you all that we're played up there in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, John Kirkler, highpointradio.net. John Kirkler, he plays us randomly on his network. He's putting an antenna up every month. I'm not sure when he's going to stop doing it, but he's building his network up. And also KBLU Radio at Colorado, Blue Raven Network. Reminds you tomorrow night, tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock is broadcast, 4 to 6. And then Thursday, Friday is Bible study, 7:30 to 9 also. And visit my Facebook, Watchman for Jesus. And you can visit my website, watchmanforjesus.com, and I've got archives there. So it's been a pleasure tonight. I thank you all for coming by. And, well, lead someone to Jesus. Put it on the index card and practice it. Get ready. Because you are going to need it. Have a good night. And God bless. And this is the Watchman for Jesus, signing off.
Shadows from the room. And Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. Then I fell down on my knees and I just clung to him. Wow. Shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Good night, God bless, and the station will continue with the 24-hour loop, and signing off, good night.